It's not perfectly straight, but it still bugs me. Isaiah 55. We're doing the whole chapter. And then we'll be ducking over to Colossians and doing five verses. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And then over into Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
I think I've turned it on, it just takes a delay. Good morning, lovely to see you all. I want to recommend to you, before I get underway in the passage, the Lion Graphic Bible. It's not for everyone, this Bible, but it is great for boys in upper primary school. Like, it's like a cross between the Bible and a Marvel comic. Okay, and so, really, it's interesting, 9 years old is the point at which boys start dropping out of church. Statistically, the 40-60 split, men, 40% men in churches, 60% women, starts at about 9 years old. And here's a great resource that, like, I'm not saying it's the magic bullet or anything like that, but here's a great resource to give kids at that age boys to keep them engaging in the stories of the Bible. So it's a good step beyond the children's Bible that you might have for young primary school. Now, part of the reason I mentioned that, two things. One is it used to be $45. It's now only $13. So that's significantly better. And so that's why I didn't buy one for my boys when they were at that age. The other thing is I'm going to use some of the pictures out of this during my talk this morning. But how about I pray as we come to God's word. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we pray that you will bring to our hearts, place on our hearts this invitation. Please soften our hearts to receive your invitation to enjoy your eternal peace. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to pick up on this theme of peace. Over this last century, the 20th century, there were a number of declarations of peace, like in 1918. At 6 a.m. on the 11th of November, the leaders, of the warring parties got together, they signed a peace treaty. The war, to end all wars, would be over in 5 hours' time. So on 11 a.m. on the 11th of November 1918, the war would end. Yet in those final hours, in those last 5 hours after the peace had been declared, officers and soldiers deliberately engaged with the enemy to bring about needless bloodshed and violence in those final hours. Because whilst peace had been declared, the warring hearts of the people were a long way from being healed. There was still war in the hearts of people. In the late 1930s, Britain's Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain declared peace. It's the next picture there. He had met with Adolf Hitler in Europe, and he returned to England with a peace treaty signed by Hitler, and he declared, "I believe it is peace in our time." Within the next few months, Hitler's tanks would roll into Poland, Czechoslovakia. The promise of peace was short-lived. World War II began within a few months' time. In the 1960s, in the wake of the Korean and the Vietnam Wars, a generation of people declared peace. And they did it with a whole lot of symbols. Make love, not war, was one of the great slogans. But interestingly, that whole movement of peace would launch the sexual revolution, which has actually seen more broken families and marriages than any war has to this point. Finally, come have a look at this map up on the screen. Still today, warfare continues across the planet. So all the nations there in blue are nations where conflicts, military conflicts, are ongoing. All those in dark blue saw at least 1,000 deaths in military engagement just last year. Many of them tens of thousands. See, it's right to long for peace. I think there's something deep within us that longs for peace, for things to be put right in our world. But it feels like you have to be gullible to believe it could ever happen. Surely that's only the sort of thing that, beauty pageant queens long for and really hope will come about. You know how the beauty pageant queen, what will you do if you win Miss America? Well, I will campaign for world peace. And I think there's a feeling amongst many in our world that you just have to be gullible to believe that world peace could be a reality. And so many people have become cynical and have even given up that peace can ever really be achieved. But when we come to the Bible, peace is something that God promises. Peace is something that God guarantees with all the authority that God has. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And God's promise of peace, God's promise of shalom, is not just an end to war, but God's promise is that all things will be put right. God's promise is that there'll be a right relationship between us and God, that there'll be a right relationship between people with each other, and that there'll be a right relationship between us and the world in which we live, our environment. Right? And God says, God guarantees that this peace will come about, that he will bring an eternal peace, and he calls on us to hope, to put our trust in him, to live with a longing for this peace to come. Now, I just want to just take you on a bit of a tour through the Bible that will enlighten us by the time we get to Isaiah chapter 54. But throughout the Bible, God has been a God of promises. So one of the great things about God is he makes promises and then he faithfully keeps his promises. God has made covenants throughout history. And a covenant is like a peace treaty, right? Covenant's like a peace treaty where God offers terms of peace, terms on which we can enjoy right relationship with him. So in the early chapters of the Bible, when humanity was spiraling into violence and anarchy, when God brought the waters of the flood on the inhabitants of the earth, but yet he saved Noah and his family, at that point, God made a covenant with the people of the earth, with Noah and all who would come after. God would never again destroy all the inhabitants of the earth with a mighty flood. On your outlines, I've got a couple of God's words to Noah. And look at the one in Genesis chapter 9. See on your outlines there? Genesis chapter 9, God says to Noah, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." Right? A covenant that God is at peace. God will not bring the waters of the flood on the earth again. Now, even today, there are peace symbols that find their origin in the story of Noah. Can you tell me what they are? Right? So what modern-day peace symbols find their origin? What's it? The dove? Yeah, let's have a look at that one. So this is the